Hey, good afternoon, all. I am 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Just after 4 o'clock on the days when, boy, it feels like 4 o'clock is the middle of the night when you look outside. It's just dark everywhere you look. I'm in New York City today, and it's even dark here. So I know that even there in Minneapolis, it's already dark as the winter solstice approaches. We're about a week out, and a week from now, it's all going to start getting brighter. And that's that story you have to tell yourself on a regular basis in winter in Minnesota, that it's going to get brighter. And that's something, you know, you want to hear about a whole lot of things happening in our world. You hope it gets a little bit brighter. Hey, normally on Fridays, we have a chance to talk with astrophysicist Paul Wallace and get our heads out of this world and, you know, up into the stars. But he's off with the family this week, so no astrophysicist. But I do want to take a little moment into the also star-spinning, head-spinning world of the President of the United States in this first little segment here. Because, Brett, I don't know if you saw this, but Donald Trump is in trouble. There's a particular story brewing that could be a violation of federal law. Now, this isn't the violation of federal law of him paying off people in a campaign finance deal. This isn't him violating federal law in perhaps obstructing justice. This isn't him violating federal law in knowing that someone was going to lie to Congress and facilitated it. This is not him being accused of violating the federal law when it comes to the Emoluments Act. None of those things is this particular problem that this president has. Did you follow this story that apparently in his inauguration,
oh yeah,
there were all kinds of trouble brewing around how the money was spent and what people were making their pledges to the inauguration, $1 million pledge and some other ones. And now that's having to be investigated. It's truly incredible the level to which this president has committed such violations of norms, if not for full violations of the law, that it causes this number of investigations. I know that, you know, that there's people who support Trump and just think that people like me and you and this station are just hunting around doing anything we can to try to bring down this president. That's what the current press spokeswoman said, that you know, this is just Democrats stirring up a bunch of trouble, trying to bring down this very fine president. That's what we all spending our time doing. And in fact, I think it's just the opposite of that. I think so many of us are so tired of having to deal with a criminal in this elected office that it's actually starting to become bothersome to me. It's becoming irritating to me. The number of things this person can touch and people around him touch that are illegal. It's incredible that you could be involved in so many things that have to be investigated at this level.
Yeah, it really is. And it's getting to the point now where I have to admit, I listened to part of your Wednesday show where Randy tried to call in, and we're getting to the point now where it's concrete evidence that this guy is committing fraud, because a lot of it that we've seen up to this point was kind of just implied that he was committing fraud and doing bad things. But it's getting to concrete evidence that, you know, he actually was getting paid off by people. And I'm with you, too, because I would rather focus on the issues on how poorly he's done on immigration. Yes. Or the economy. Really starting to tank right now. I'd rather pay attention to that than these stupid violations, but the guy commits them, so you have to talk about it.
I know it's, I would, as you put it, I would so like to be in the argument with Republicans right now about the future of the country, the direction, the choice of policy, what parts of our society do we want to incentivize, what parts do we want to subsidize, what parts of our society do we want to change in, what parts do we want to keep the same. Those are the very rich conversations that those of us who care about politics in the United States want to talk about. It really matters. And instead, for 2 years now, we have been saying over and over, we can't talk about the important issues facing the country, the important debates, because we just have to clear the deck of whatever activity Donald Trump has done that is not just out of the norm of being a president. He's not just an unusual character. He's not just somebody who is elected to be a disruptor, and he is disrupting. Instead, what he is doing is behaving in such ways that people are raising allegations of crimes. And I'm not talking, and these aren't even just like the little, hey, some paperwork got filled out wrong and you have to straighten up on this and there's an administrative fine or there's an administrative response to the work of an administration. Every administration gets all of that. This isn't any of that. This is, and now all the way back to the inauguration, that the investigation's going into this. And if you read the article, the way that investigators found out about this was that Michael Cohen had recordings of him talking with one of the organizers of the inauguration. And when they went through all the records that Michael Cohen had when Michael Cohen was raided, they discovered, oh, here's some questions that he's raising and somebody else is raising about how money was spent and if people were being followed up on properly about their expenditures. Well, that's interesting. How was this money spent? And here you go, right? Just poking around inside the lives of the people connected to Donald Trump leads investigators to this entire question, if his activities are criminal or not and need to be investigated. It is just outrageous, the level to which to which this comes up. So just another point for all the people out there that that get tired of Trump. I hear it. I get tired of it too. I don't want to talk about the guy. I don't want to talk about a president who's a felon in chief. I find it to be not honoring of the presidency, the way that I think about and have to talk about the president. So I'm personally offended at the level to which I have to think about and talk about the president's criminality. So lest anybody try to make the argument that some of us want nothing more than to bring down this president and talk about him, I would love it if we could just have an election in this country where the people of this country could choose freely if the ideas propagated by the Trump administration, his terrible record on the environment, his terrible record on taxes, his terrible record on immigration, his terrible record on trade, any of these that we could talk about and have that be what we're going to be basing our election on, or even the midterm elections on, for someone who cares about politics, I long for the day when we could talk about that. But instead, we find ourselves day in and day out with a new headline that is, oh, maybe here's another criminal activity that the president of the United States is engaged in. And you know it's trouble when Sarah Sanders, the press secretary, says on Fox News last night, hey, this has nothing to do with the president. Normally her response is, nothing wrong went on here. Nothing inappropriate happened. No laws were violated. She's not even making that argument on this inauguration misspending and bribery. She's saying the president didn't do that one. That's not on him, right? Because any press secretary should be saying, whoa, this administration, this president's inauguration, it should not be questioned in this way. If there were any crimes that were committed, we need to investigate fully and completely and find out what happened and who misbehaved. Absolutely, you'd want that. But instead, her argument is, oh, that's not on him. Don't put it on the boss. You know you're in trouble when he's ducking already on his own culpability in these activities. And I know that there were people in the press who were pushing on this inauguration all along. And so it's quite possible that literally from day one of being the president of the United States, the day he took the oath, his people were involved in activities that will be determined to be in violation of the federal law. It's getting really, really tiresome. Frankly, and I just want to make a couple comments here about Michael Cohen. He's out on an interview with George Stephanopoulos, trying to say like, "Hey, Donald Trump is being mean to me." My own little editorial here on Michael Cohen. I really appreciated his confession and his statement of apology and reconciling what he did before the court. I think it was a well stated statement. But let's have no sympathy for Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen did not come out and say, I lied to the American people. I helped Donald Trump commit crimes. I was a fixer for someone who asked me to behave in illegal ways. Until his office was raided until federal prosecutors had his information in hand. This is not someone who came to his conscience and said, I have to make a shift. This is a guy who's caught red-handed and then says, oh, I guess I need to now come clean and apologize to my family. So I appreciate his confession, and I want to give him full credit that he does want to change his life, that he does want to be a different person, all the things he says. I don't doubt that at all. But let's remember, this was not someone who came out and said, I'm just so conscience tormented that I need to respond and tell everybody the truth about what happened. This is a person who was caught. And he even defended, if you saw the interview with George Stephanopoulos, that he was involved in no kinds of cover-up and no kinds of lies when it came to his involvement with Donald Trump as his fixer in the real estate world of New York, where I'm sitting right now. He made all the allegations that he could that, oh, we didn't do anything wrong there. I mean, I didn't commit any crimes until the campaign, as if the campaign is really the problem where we see all of this. So, we're not going to talk about it all Friday, because on Fridays on this show, we try to have a little bit of a break and talk about some other things. So when we come back here after the break, I want to chat a little bit about our governor-elect and Scott Walker, the outgoing governor, and the farm bill, and Keith Ellison. And then we're going to do some Minnesota news after AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. They're just sitting around waiting
for my life to begin while it was all just... Expedition Journal, entry number 7. It's been a week since I entered this vast land called Big Buy Electronics in search of a digital camera. Today, I encountered several people calling themselves employees, but they only spoke of car stereos, knowing nothing of cameras. So I continued westward through endless forests of CDs and DVDs. By evening, I took refuge near some televisions to regain my bearings. I begin to wonder if this camera department is a myth. I should have heeded my colleagues and gone to National Camera. Their knowledge and customer service is the stuff of legend. But it is too late for me now. Tell my wife I love her.
At National Camera Exchange, our price guarantee means we'll match any local store or internet price any day of the week. And now during our holiday sale, the prices get even better. You'll even get free classes with any camera purchase. See store for details.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show, your source for elder care and caregiver solutions, inviting you to listen to our live call-in show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding elder care and caregiver issues to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your best quality of life. Please join us this Saturday from noon to 1 for the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show and learn more about us at minnesotahospice.com.
Odie, what are you going to get Linda this year?
Well, Sven, how about a t-shirt from Northern Sun?
Oh, yeah. They have those funny ones and political ones, too.
Yeah, and don't you know how Linda feels about that president?
Yeah, I don't care for him so much either.
Sven and Oli get their shirts, stickers, and magnets from Northern Sun.
You should, too, don't you know?
Visit Northern Sun in Minneapolis on East Lake Street, or online at northernsun.com.
Hey, welcome back to AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Doug Padgett in today, 421. Pine, Twin Cities. All right, Randy from Coon Rapids, I got just a couple of minutes for you, but I got to tell you, I'm not much in the mood for talking anymore about Donald Trump, but I do appreciate you listening and your willingness to be part of all this. So, what do you got?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it is how can we go at Donald Trump? We're going to keep going at him, and I get that because I know when Obama was in office, that's all I was thinking about is what can we go at Obama to get him out of office would be great. But my question for you would be is, I heard you say that you were deeply offended about what's going on. And I'm like, well, were you really offended when Obama was in office? He had $2 million in campaign violation, and he was just fined, I think it was about $360,000 or $380,000 his campaign was, and there was no investigations about it.
Completely
so was that
different.
Offensive to you too?
Yeah, Randy, great question. No, you know, I wasn't offended by that because when there's a violation and it comes out, what Obama did was said, this is 2008, we didn't record and release these donors in the way that we should have. And what we need to do to rectify that is to release that information and pay the fine. So I wasn't offended by that. Now, the interesting question is, in 8 years of the Obama administration, you and others wanted to do anything they could to remove the president from office. I get that. You had an election to try. Didn't work. What kinds of criminal activity was anyone in the Trump or in the Obama administration accused of in that time?
Well, I don't think they went after him anything as far as criminal.
So how come? So this is what's like curious to me. This is what's curious to me, Randy. If this is the case that what you can do to a president is just stir up all kinds of false accusations of criminality. You can just make them up and go after a president. Are you literally telling me that in 8 years, the people who wanted Obama out of office never thought of just stirring up false allegations with no criminality and wanted to raise and didn't think they should raise false claims of violating the law about Obama? With all the things people did, spreading lies about him, spreading rumors, claiming that he was a Muslim who wanted to destroy this country, claiming that he was anti-American, they never thought, you know what we should do is bring a false charge of criminality. If it's as easy as you're saying to do this to Donald Trump, to just stir up false allegations against Trump, and I listed off six of them to start the show, and those are just the ones we currently know about. Are you telling me that with a Republican Congress, there was no charges of criminality ever brought against the Obama administration? And if it's that easy to bring it against a president, you're telling me that Republicans didn't think of it? Or are you saying that they're so morally superior that it's only the public and Robert Mueller and the current Trump Justice Department that is continuing to let this witch hunt go because this group of people is more disregarding of the law and immoral? Like, Randy, I just got to tell you, that sounds outrageous to me. The other option is Donald Trump has done things that need to be investigated. All right. Now, I said I wasn't going to talk about it, and then I got myself all riled up. So go ahead.
The fact that they brought up, they kept trying to go after him because they thought he wasn't a United States citizen. So there was that. And here's my take on it is the Republicans were pretty insane trying to go after Obama because they couldn't stand him. They wanted him out of office. And what I think you got going now you've got progressives or Democrats. They've amped it up way farther than the Republicans ever did. And they're even more insane to try to get Donald Trump out of there. It's amazing how many places, because I love talking politics to people, and everywhere I go and talk to people about politics, all I hear is how much they love what Donald Trump is doing for this country. I don't hear anyone saying, boy, I wish he was out of office. Boy, we need to get rid of him. So I don't know if your guys' message just isn't getting through, but I don't seem to find any of them.
That's a great question, Randy. I'm terribly afraid that you could be right, that the message isn't getting through. Randy, just top two things that you think Trump is doing that are great, because it would help me to know that somebody feels like what Donald Trump is doing is working well for this country. They don't even have to be the most important two, but just give me two things that you're happy about that is happening as vis-a-vis the Trump administration.
Well, one of the things that I do like, and we're not really reaping the benefits of it yet, mm-hmm. is the whole trade deal. A lot of people are nervous. The farmers are getting mad.
Okay.
It's one of those things. I think they're throwing a little bit of, there's going to be a little bit of pain now to reap really good rewards down the road. And I don't think that we're seeing
years,
them yet, but I think
so
we
two
will.
Years into the 2 years into the administration, and there's still no benefit on the thing on trade. But that's one. What's the other? What's another thing that you think is going well?
The other one that I thought was, and it's a real current one that I think is very exciting, is when I saw Donald Trump on TV and he basically said, I'm going to shut the government down if I have to get this wall. You know, what that told a lot of conservatives and Republicans is that he's going to stand up. And I'm all for it. Board up the, shut the government down. I think that's phenomenal. If that's what he needs to do to get this across so we don't get criminals and drugs floating over our border all the time, to get something going against that wall, I think it's phenomenal. And if he has to shut that thing down,
I gotta tell you, Randy, the notion that the thing you're most happy about from the chief executive of the federal government is that he'll shut the federal government down to keep criminals out. To keep criminals out.
Fighting to keep us safe. That's what I think it is. It's fighting to keep us safe. He's looking at our safety is more important and just trying to keep the government up and running.
Yeah, we're not unsafe, Randy. This is the thing. But I appreciate
look at all those drugs pouring over the border.
Yeah, you know, I think if you really wanted to do something about criminals in our country, you might want to start with those who have pled guilty to federal crimes associated with the Trump administration. If the president wanted to do something, right? I mean, I saw a little whimsical joke, I think, on the internet that said if Donald Trump really wanted Hillary Clinton to be locked up, he should have hired her to be his attorney. Right, that's the best way to have her go to jail is to make her to ever be implicated by his own criminality. All right, I got to breathe that one out. Hey, Gary from Minneapolis. So we just got a couple of seconds on this.
Another group is white supremacist terrorists that support Trump. They lock them up. If he wants to shut down the government, maybe he should go after Mexico. He shows what a failure is. He can't get him to pay for his stupid wall.
Yeah.
And, Republicans, I don't hear a darn thing out of them. For years and years, they cried when Obama saved us from a depression about deficits and debt. They're completely quiet about it. They bankrupted our country again, and they're cutting our Medicare, they're cutting our schools, they're cutting our infrastructure. Trump promises highways galore and all kinds of building projects. Where are they? Our health care is going to be beautiful. We're going to love it. And then how about all this Defense Department? It used to be called the War Department. They still should call it that. How about the corruption and all the corporate greed involved in that war budget they threw our money at?
I know. It just makes you want to scream at the air. Hey, Gary, thanks. I'm just going to squeeze David in here real quick before. Hey, David, we only have about 40 seconds, but I want to just give you a chance to respond.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call. I guess, you know, if Trump is guilty of crimes, he should be punished. But I think if Randy wants to defend Trump for the next 2 years and he wants to have Trump be the spokesperson while he's an indicted criminal, that's fine because he can ride out his term and they can defend Donald Trump because he'll be the face of the GOP. But when he's out of office, hopefully they haul him off. So I don't want Trump. I'm not a crazy, let's get him out of office. I want him to stay in office. And then when he's out of office, he can be punished with his crimes with the jail time. Put his family in jail. I'm all for that. But let's keep Trump in office and let Randy defend him for the next 2 years. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, David. Yeah, thanks, David. I really appreciate your call. I've heard that from a number of people, and I can see their point, especially now that there's only 2 years left, that you could say, let's have an election, let's let the system work properly, and then when he's out, prosecute all the criminals to the fullest extent of the law. I can understand that. And we're going to talk about Trump for a whole segment, but then we went off and did. It's like saying I'm not going to eat another handful of chips, and sometimes there's some addictive quality to it. It's not necessarily good for us. But we'll be back here with a little fresh news about Minnesota after the break. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
This is Art Beat for the week. I'm Elizabeth Horeb, co-host of Connections Radio, and today I'll be letting you in on a couple of great art events in the area this weekend. This weekend and next, get on out to the Southern Theater and see Animus. Inspired by Ingmar Bergman's 1966 psychological film Persona,
Animus uses performance, multimedia projection, and live video captured on stage to explore the merging identities of two modern women, one who speaks and one who doesn't, who compare hands and get all mixed up in one another. Focusing on themes of identity, shame, and voyeurism, Animus explores not only personal identity, but also online personas, blurring what is real and what is fake. Animus is created and performed by Emily Michaels Kings and Deborah Berger of ED and Amber Johnson of Danger Vision Productions. Animus is presented as part of the Ingmar Bergman Jubilee. This year, 2018, marks 100 years since the birth of Ingmar Bergman, world-famous filmmaker, legendary theater director, and exceptional writer. The Jubilee started in autumn 2017 and continued through 2018 and has taken place over the entire world with theatrical productions, exhibitions, documentaries, film retrospectives, book releases, and festivals. Animus is 90 minutes with no intermission, recommended for ages 13+. Go to southerntheater.org to reserve your tickets today. This Sunday from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m., Immigrant Movement for Justice is hosting the Honduras Refugee Caravan Forum in Solidarity event. Why have people walked from Central America to the U.S. border to seek asylum? What can we do to provide support and solidarity? Stop on out to see presentations, music, poetry, candle lighting, video, a history exhibit, food, and inspiration. This is a free event, kid-friendly, material aid optional. This event takes place at the Central Area Neighborhood Development Organization in Minneapolis. Look up Refugee Caravan Forum on Facebook to read more about the Immigrant Movement Justice's event this Sunday. That's Art Beat for the week. I'm Elizabeth Horob, co-host of Connections Radio Show, airing live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
I'm Connie Burek, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind, body, spirit, emotion perspective. Let's talk about self-love. Do you possess it? Join us next week as we explore what it means to love yourself and how to put that emotion into action for positive change in your life. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show, Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into life.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies tonight with a low around 22, Saturday sunny with a high near 39, Sunday sunny with a high around 37, and Monday sunny with a high around 32. When buying gifts this holiday season, shop local with one of the AM 950 advertisers. It's a great way to not only support AM 950, but also local businesses and shops. Some of those businesses include Chocolate Celeste, Vinaigrette, Northern Sun, and Continental Diamond. Find a full list of advertisers at am950radio.com.
And welcome back, AM 950. Talking about all kinds of things here on a Friday. Normally get our heads up in the skies on Friday with our astrophysicist. But we're staying down in the earthly realms today.
I'd say the swamp almost with Trump.
The swamp. Yeah, we're down in the deeps. We're down in the deep water, which is oceanic. Hey, my condolences to Mick Mulvaney. Mick Mulvaney, budget director for Donald Trump. My condolences. He was just named acting chief of staff. So too bad for that guy. He's going to go broke with legal fees. He's going to be miserable, and he's going to be fired in disgrace very soon. So that just coming across the news, unbelievable. I'll tell you one thing. The president of the United States knows how to stay in front of the news cycle. He just drips with little pieces of news all the time. But hey, in other news, just a couple of things on governors. Governor-elect Walz didn't meet with the president. He didn't go to Washington to be in the new governor, newly elected governor's meetup with the president. And I'm glad he didn't go. I'm not happy for the reason he didn't go. Or his stated reason. his press secretary, Governor Alec Wall's press secretary, and others made it really clear. The reason he didn't go is because he was busy doing his work, putting together his transition team, had stuff to do as the new governor elect, and couldn't make it. I wish he had said, I think the president of the United States is not someone that I want to be in a partnership with and work with, and I'll find every way I possibly can to work with the federal government, but I don't need to go kowtow to the president to make that happen. I'm not going to be in a personal relationship with the president. So there's two things that happen in government. One is that you develop personal relationships with people and you use those personal relationships to make your point and to build trust. The other is you use your position to interact with other positions. And when you have a character on one side of the equation that is an untrustworthy partner, someone that you can't believe and that you can't trust their word, then you don't go the route of saying, I'm going to build personal relationships. So I would be very glad if Governor Walz were to say, for the next 2 years, I am unwilling to use personal equity in my relationships with the president to advocate on behalf of Minnesota before the federal government, because the federal government should not be making its determinations about its legislation or its effect on the state of Minnesota because the president has a good personal relationship with Walz. And I think the governor-elect should have said, I find the president of the United States to be an untrustworthy partner, and I will be sure that our administration engages with the federal government, but I am not going to engage with that person on any kind of a personal basis, and I don't need to go meet him on that behalf. That would have been my preference. I don't know that Governor Walz has that opinion, but I wish that he did, and I think it would have served better, Brent. So I think what one of the problems is we all have to stop acting in parts of our days as if the president of the United States is a reasonable president, where you would normally go meet with a president even of another party. I'm not suggesting not meeting with him because he's a Republican. I'm saying that our Democratic president shouldn't meet with him because he regularly lies and demeans and harms the country by his actions. That's why he shouldn't go meet with him. Makes me crazy.
Yeah, I think he was using that more as an excuse not to meet with him. Maybe he believes that, but he wants to come off. This is Tim Walz from his perspective, wanting to be that nonpartisan deal maker since he has a lot of capital in that area. Maybe just using that as the excuse, well, I'm too busy to meet with him. But I kind of agree with him because at the end of the day, Trump's still going to go after whoever a Democratic governor is if he does anything he doesn't like. So, yeah.
No, I agree with you that, I mean, I get it, that that's what you would normally do. You'd say, hey, I can't make it to meet with the person. I don't want to say what it's really about. The problem with Donald Trump is he gets away with what he gets away with because people don't say the things they really think. Republican lawmakers don't say what they really think. The press doesn't say what they really think. Voters don't say what they really think. Governors in other states don't say what they think. He gets to say anything. I'm ranting about Trump again. I got to stop this. It's not good for me. But Trump gets to say anything he wants, all under the banner of I'm authentic. Everybody else has to then kowtow to his fake authenticity. Drives me crazy. No more Mr. Nice Guy. That's what I'd suggest out of Tim Walz when it comes to the president. Just want to encourage him that he has my support, at least, if he wants to take up that attitude. I'd be cheering for him if he were to do that. But what I did notice that was also interesting is not only did he not go to that meeting as the governor-elect, he's still a sitting congressman. And he and Keith Ellison, neither of them went to Washington to vote on this farm bill. They both sat it out because their new job has their attention. And I brought this up last week about when, you know, if Amy Klobuchar is going to be running for the presidency. I think it really raises an issue when the person is looking for the new job and can't finish their old job. I'm not happy about the fact that Congressman Walz and that Congressman Ellison didn't go and fulfill their old jobs because they got the new one. You're still being paid to be a congressperson. Go fulfill your role. Go finish your job. Don't be taking that pay. Don't be taking the position of being a congressman if you're not going to show up and do the work. I find it to be the number of times that Congress people don't show up on bills, I know can be a high number because they often feel like it doesn't really matter. The numbers are going to be so swayed one way or the other. But it's part of your work. It's part of your legacy. And it's part of how you're supposed to represent the people of the state. And I'm not a big fan of any politician moving on to their future job while they're still in their previous job. And I don't know how we solve that, because I know it can be too much of a burden for someone to resign their position when they decide to run for a new one. But as I brought up before, I don't think it's right for someone to keep a job and not be fulfilling it while they just try to get another one and to play another role. So I think it's something we have to figure out in our system, what they're going to do. And this farm bill is a really big deal. A lot of people didn't pay a lot of attention to it, but the great majority of the farm bill, it's billions of dollars worth, and about 81% of it is really not about farm aid, and it's not about farmers. It's about the federal system of subsidy for people who need help from the government for food. And SNAP, which is the program that provides food assistance to people, was cared for enough in the farm bill. So I'm personally thrilled that the farm bill portions that went for SNAP were protected. I'm not happy overall with our farm bill. I'd love to do a whole show on this sometimes. And there's a number of longtime Minnesota Congress people, including Colin Peterson, whose attitude toward the farm bill and his leverage in the farm bill causes real disruption around the world and causes global poverty because we have these giveaways to certain farmers in this country. So there's a number of really complicated issues that have to do with the farm bill, and I have a lot of interest in it, and that's part of the reason why I noticed that Walz and Ellison didn't show up to vote on the farm bill. It's only passed every 2 years, so some Congress people never even get a real chance to dig into it, and they had a chance to be thinking about it and to lend their voice to it and to be working hard on it, and when they don't, it really damages the farm bill and damages the country. So I think there should be a whole lot more emphasis from our Congress people when it comes to that farm bill. It's one of the greatest portions of financial distribution that happens out of the federal government. And it needs to be tripled, the amount of money that goes to helping the hungry in this country. It's good that it was protected, but it's not nearly enough. And I think that every one of our Congress people from the state of Minnesota needs to be on the right side of this. And we need to stop these subsidies that are damaging crops in other countries. It's really difficult for poor farmers in other parts of the world to compete on the global stage when the U.S. government provides the level of subsidies that it does to U.S. farmers, where they can sell their crops, especially beets and soybeans, into the world and corn in a way that is underwritten. It makes it really, really difficult for farmers in South America and Africa to compete. So it's a complicated issue. I think we should dig into it sometime. If we could ever get through with the criminal conspiracy that is the presidential administration, maybe we'd have time to talk about some of these things without people thinking that we're just whistling through the graveyard on these topics. Hey, and Brent, as you mentioned, Governor Walker over there in Wisconsin, in his final days, chose to sign the power grab bill passed last week by the state assembly in Wisconsin, stripping the governorship and the secretary of state and the lieutenant governor of powers. And Scott Walker said in interviews following it that he thinks there's just a lot of national hysteria around this, and it's really not that big of a deal, and there's still a lot of powers that the governor has, and they're just doing a little bit of administrative cleanup. And it's curious that none of that administrative cleanup was he willing to do in September while he was the sitting governor who thought he was going to be reelected. So if it was just doing the people's good work and making sure you're getting some things cleaned up, and you know, he wanted to leave the office of the governorship in better shape than he found it, which is the way he kind of pitched it, it's curious that if that's what he really thought, he didn't do any of that while he was the sitting governor and thought he was going to be reelected.
Yeah, and I hope people in Wisconsin hold these guys accountable, because it's nothing more than just a monster power grab, just stripping power away from someone that's the opposite party of you that's coming into power. And I don't know, it'd be interesting to talk to someone in Wisconsin to see if people are actually fired up about this, not just the usual politicals, but normal people who, you know, maybe don't pay attention to politics, because that's what's going to take to undo this type of stuff.
Yeah, you would hope they are. I just have to think there's not a chance. It's so arcane, so complicated that for people to know enough about it and care about it, I'm not sure they can. Hey, a little shout out here before we get into our quiz, our news quiz in the final segment to see how well we're keeping up on the news. The Electric Fetus, named Best Record Store by Rolling Stone once again. And Electric Fetus is an AM 950 advertiser. So good for them. Really appreciate their good work. And since I was a child and the phrase electric fetus broke something in my brain in its sort of rock and roll way, I have been thinking about the Electric Fetus. And it's good to know that people around the country in the rock music business pay attention to this. Hey, Julie, we're going to give you just the last 10 or 15 seconds here to talk a little bit about Walker.
Hey, I'm just here to say that Walker is a prime example of the vacancy in this Libertarian Party. I cannot believe that they cannot abide by their own rules and regulations. It's just sickening to me. And,
Yeah, thank you, Julie. I appreciate it. I think it's well said right there. We're going to run into a break here, but I like your phrase too, this Libertarian Party, because I find that to be the Libertarian takeover of the Republican Party, I find to be a real problem. So thanks, Julie. Really, really appreciate your call. Hey, Brent and I are going to test our news skills here after the break. AM 950, Progressive Voice.
The Electric Fetus gift card sale is now through December 14th, both in-store and online. Buy $50 in gift cards and get a $10 bonus gift card, or buy $100 in gift cards and get a $20 bonus gift card. They'll also include their special January coupon book while supplies last. The Franklin Avenue Bridge is open, and it's worth the trip to Electric Fetus. Open 9 to 9 Monday through Friday, 9 to 8 Saturday, and 11 to 6 Sunday at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis. More at electricfetus.com.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Native Earth Radio is proud to announce we're adding an extra hour.
1 hour's too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
Great. More time for me to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national native news with reporters all around the country. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m.
We are awake.
Find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and streaming live on Facebook.
This holiday season, think outside the everyday chocolate box. Make a splash with your friends, family, and clients with elegantly packaged artisan chocolates from Chocolat Celeste. Come taste the intoxicating flavor of the finest European chocolate, handcrafted with love by founder and chocolatier Mary Leonard. Mary and her staff will help you understand the kind of chocolate that everyone wants and dreams about. Watch while the recipient opens the box. It's like a beautiful piece of holiday artwork. Then watch them taste the sweet and complex flavors.
This holiday season, Chocolat Celeste has created an artisan collection for AM 950 listeners. Get 25% off of 6, 12, and 24-piece collections in-store only. A winter-themed truffle box of raspberry, Grand Marnier, peanut butter, key lime, lemon, Thai spice, Frangelico, and more. Open 9:30 to 5:30 daily, Chocolat Celeste is located at 652 Transfer Road in St. Paul, just 4 blocks off I-94 at the Creighton Vandalia exit.
Chocolat Celeste, the way chocolate is meant to be.
Hey, Brent, I was thinking about that Chocolat Celeste commercial there and thought, you know, we should probably head over there and do a little remote broadcast from the Chocolat Celeste store and try some of those chocolates.
And maybe get a stomach ache by the end of the show because we will be eating chocolate the entire time.
I think I'd be willing to give that a try.
I think
let's
so
see
too.
How fast, yeah. Let's see how fast we can get a stomach ache at the Chocolat Celeste. It sounded great. Boy, that is so tantalizing.
By the way, just kidding. We would not get a stomach ache because that's actually all natural chocolate there. It's not the kind you get from like Hershey's or Reese's. It's naturally grown organic chocolate. So really good stuff.
I'm only partly kidding. I think I should do a remote from there sometime. It'd be really fun. All right, here we go. The news quiz. If you're up for it, 10 questions. We got to go fast because last 3 weeks I've dithered, and we haven't had a time to finish it.
All right, let's do it.
Let's see how well we're doing. It's a little recap of the news, which just is a reminder about all the good things happening in the news. So the first one is a true or false. Donald Trump told Democratic leaders in a contentious Oval Office meeting that he was willing to shut down the government to get funding for his promised border wall. True or false?
Yes, as I'm sure it's true, as the elf on the shelf, Mike Pence, can probably attest to. That picture of him, by the way.
Perfect.
Kind of what he looked like, yeah.
Perfect. Well, as Randy knows, that did happen. And 98% of people taking this quiz got that right. That's an amazing news story that popped through enough where 90. I haven't seen any answers, 98%. All right, question number two. Who did the Minnesota Vikings football team, which I don't follow, fire this week after a miserable loss to Seattle on Monday night? Was it Mike Zimmer? Was it Kirk Cousins? Was it Kevin Stefanski or John DeFippio?
I can tell you don't follow the Vikings. Viking fans would hope it would be option B, but no, it was DeFilippo, I think is how you say his name.
John DeFilippo, you say correct. Well, good thing you were around. 86%. I'm in the elite 14% that doesn't pay enough attention to this. So no, I didn't know. All right. What important news happened with British Prime Minister Theresa May this week? She called off a vote in Parliament on her Brexit divorce deal because she feared that it wouldn't pass. She survived a no-confidence vote called by her own party. She was rebuked by European Union leaders. All of the above or none of the above?
Oh, the all of the above is going to throw me off because I know for sure she fought off the no-confidence vote, but I'm going to go all of the above. Yeah.
Me too. Yes, it was all of the above. All those things happened. I seem to have an opinion about the Star Tribune news quiz. When it gives you an all of the above or none of the above, it's always all of the above. We'll test it. It's like picking C when you don't know the
exactly,
answer.
Exactly. Yes.
All right. Number four, the Minnesota homeless camp along Hiawatha and Cedar Avenues that once housed several hundred people began to empty out this week, with residents moving into heated temporary shelter nearby. How many people tragically died at the camp since it was formed this summer? None, two, four, or six?
I honestly don't know, so I'm going to go with the answer I hope it is, which is none.
I'm going to go with four. Let's see. Four was correct. Yeah. Four people did pass away.
Oh, I wish I would have been right on that answer. Yeah.
I do too. I just followed it pretty closely, and it's just heartbreaking. Question number five. What was the sentence a judge gave to Michael Cohen this week for his crimes that included the hush money? Was it nothing because of his cooperation deal? 12 years probation, 3 years in prison, 5 years in prison?
That's got to be 3 years, doesn't it?
3 years in prison, and 98% of people got that right, which means that people that take this test at least pay enough attention to these kinds of stories, or these stories break through. Hey, and question number six, Minnesota lawmakers are considering regulations, perhaps even price controls, on what drug? Insulin, EpiPens, opioids, or marijuana? All right, that's a funny one. That's a funny question. Choice of answers available there. Minnesota lawmakers are considering regulations or price controls for what drug? I have a pretty good idea.
I don't have a clue on this one. Ugh.
I think I know it. It's the choices were
insulin. What are the
insulin.
Options again? Yeah.
Yeah, insulin, EpiPens, opioids, marijuana.
Ooh, what's your answer? I have no clue on this one. I'll go option C because we talked about that earlier. Whatever C is. I think it's marijuana, isn't it?
No, it's EpiPens. I believe. That's my choice. Wrong. Wrong. Insulin was the correct answer.
Oh, okay.
They need to do it on EpiPens too, because they drove the price of EpiPens up. Insulin. I know there was a big, huge rise for people that need insulin, and there was some price gouging going on. But I really thought it was EpiPens. All right. Why did the Southwest flight last weekend turn around over Idaho and return to Seattle? Because the co-pilot was found to be drunk. Because a human heart was left on board. Oh my God! I hope that's true. Because a woman went into labor. Or a drunken passenger from Minneapolis became unruly.
Matt McNeil talked about this the other day, so I know it's
he
D.
Did?
Yes, it's that one.
A drunken passenger became unruly?
We were talking about if you're drinking that much on a plane, you need to see someone.
Well, incorrect.
Really? It's not. It must have been a different flight. Okay. Wow.
Maybe there was a different one and they tricked us. Maybe there was another
that
flight.
That could be it, yeah.
Correct. You know what the correct answer was?
What's that?
A human heart was left on board.
I guess I should have thought of that. That's a pretty extreme answer to make up if you're doing the news quiz, yeah.
Yeah, well, if you have a choice between a human heart left on board and a Minneapolis resident got so drunk it turned the plane around, I'd still go with the Minneapolis resident getting drunk. That's much more likely in my experience with people that care for human hearts. It's probably a heart transplant, and they tend not to leave those behind. And a lot of people on planes drink too much. I watch it happen all the time. All right, question number 8. Who did Time magazine name this week as its person of the year? Was it Donald Trump, Robert Mueller, family separated at the border, or the Guardians, who are journalists who have been killed or jailed around the world?
It better not be Donald Trump. I think it's the journalists.
It was the journalists. But I can see the argument for being Donald Trump because, you know, it doesn't mean you're a good person of the year. It just means you're the most impactful. But it was journalists who gave their lives around the world. All right, question number 9. Hey, we're doing pretty well here, my friend. What Minnesota company was sold this week, for $321 million? Was it Bite Squad, Christopher & Banks, which I didn't know was a Minneapolis, Minnesota company, Marvin Windows, or Sun Country Airlines?
That's the first one. I forgot the name already, but I recognized it. Bite Squad. That one.
Bite Squad it was. It was Bite Squad. I mean, how about that? A food delivery service worth $321 million. You know, I had an idea for a food service years ago. I should have followed up on that. I didn't.
$321 million.
All right, the final question, number 10. Yeah, that's right. All I had to do was that, and then I would have $321 million. Question number 10. What annual festival announced this week said it would move to Duluth? I read that question badly. What annual festival announced this week that it would move to Duluth? The International Climbers Festival, the Rome Bike Fest Sundance Film Festival, Independent Television Festival, or Sundance Film Festival?
I'm pretty sure it's not the Sundance. I forgot all the answers, so I'll go A.
Climbers. No, it was the Independent Television Festival. Independent Television Festival coming to Duluth.
I still did better than Hunter, didn't I?
You did way better than Hunter.
Okay, good.
Which should be a life goal. Hey, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on Monday. Crushing the last Lord American night.